Well, we have sung and heard and talked about some great music in this Advent and Christmas series we're in. Adore Him, Songs of Longing, Songs of Hope. But today we get to what has been ranked the second most popular song, Christmas song, out there. Number one, in terms of number of times it's been recorded, is Silent Night. But number two, in terms of recordings, and in terms, number one actually, in terms of how many hymnals it is Joy to the World. And the absolutely ironic thing about this is Joy to the World is not a Christmas song. Joy to the World has this great line in it about that whole title, Joy to the World, sounds like it comes from Luke 2 and the angel saying, you know, I bring you tidings of good news, of great joy that shall be for all the people. And then you have that next line a little bit later in it that let every heart prepare him room. Sounds like that reference to there being no room in the inn. Lots of pastors have used that on Christmas Eve. It sounds very Christmassy, but it's not. The history of this hymn is that in 1719, Isaac Watts was a pastor's kid. And pastor's kids, you know about pastor's kids, right? Isaac did what a lot of kids do. My kids don't do this one. I think it's a credit to Shannon. But he complained to his dad about the music in the church. He said, Dad, it's boring. He's like, all we do is recite the Psalms, and we do it using a really boring, dry, same old melody all the time. But Isaac Watts' dad was smart. I'm putting this one in my dad kit bag, I'll tell you right now. He said, Isaac, if you don't like it, do something about it. I challenge you to go write some music. And Isaac took him up on it. And so Isaac went and joined with a few other people, and they created a hymnal, again published in 1709 or 19. You have to look that one up because I'm not. I do have that actually. 1719. They produced a hymnal called the Psalms of David, and it was supposed to be a Christian reflection using New Testament language on the Psalms. And thus, Joy to the World was Isaac Watts' interpretation of Psalm 98. Had nothing to do with Christmas. And so, what I think we'll do today is we're going to dig into Psalm 98, and we're going to use Joy to the World to help us do that. So if you have your Bibles or a Bible app, I encourage you to turn to Psalm 98. And as you do, let me pray. Lord, your coming means joy to the world. It means heaven and nature sing, and that we should repeat the sounding joy. May this psalm help us do that. May this be a reflection on the wonders of your love that gets us to join the song. Do this and more, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 98, a psalm. Sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now let's see Isaac Watts' version. I'm going to put the words, we're going to sing this after the sermon, but I'm going to put the words of Joy to the World up on the screen for us, and let's just go through that for a second. You might look back and forth from the psalm. I'm going to do a lot of that when I preach here, but joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Second verse. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Third verse. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. And then the final verse. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love. Can you see the linkage? We're going to unpack that a little bit. Psalm 98 is what's called an enthronement psalm. It's a psalm that represents or celebrates that God is on the throne. It's looking ahead in many ways to the fact that what we as Christians would call the second coming. When, as we said on Christ the King Sunday, God descends and makes the kingdom of this world the kingdom of our Lord and God and his Messiah. It's looking forward to all of that. Most scholars would divide Psalm 98 into kind of three stanzas, each comprising of three verses. There's overlap and they go kind of back and forth with each other, but the first three verses are about who it is and why it is that we praise, that we sing a new song. The second stanza, verses 4-6, is really about how do we praise him? How do we express this joy that we have that our Lord is come? And then the final stanza, verses 7, 8, and 9, is about kind of the universal scope that really all creation is going to join in praising God, and a little bit more about why we praise him. So what I want to do is unpack those three stanzas, again, with reference back and forth to joy to the world. So let's go. Sing to the Lord a new song. Notice something right off the bat, that the word Lord is in all caps in your translations, right? And whenever you see Lord in all caps in the Old Testament, it means that it's the Hebrew word Yahweh, the name of God that was revealed to Moses, a name that means I am that I am. Older translations use the word Jehovah for that. But pay attention to that, I am that I am. That's the one that we're going to praise. That's the reason, who he is the reason for our joy. Now, joy to the world gets to that right away too, because joy to the world, the Lord is come. Pay attention to the verb tense, right? It's not joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's not a backwards-looking psalm. It's not joy to the world, the Lord will come. It's joy to the world, the Lord is come. God is on the throne right now. God is the great I am. He's at work right now. He will come in right now to the hearts of those who prepare him room. God is active right now. This is why this is actually much more an Advent hymn than it is a Christmas carol. Because again, it's caught in this joy. He did come. That began the work, but he is to come. He is come, though. He's here. And that is such good news. It's joy for us that the Lord is come. So what did he do when he came? What should we do when he come? Well, we should sing a new song. I just love that it calls us to sing a new song. I love that Isaac Watts says, let men their songs employ, that it should be a new song. This is kicking us, for those who know their New Testament, to Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation 14. Because in Revelation 5, you see that everybody who's gathered around the throne of God is singing a new song. In Revelation 14, you again hear that they're singing a new song, but it's a new song that only the redeemed can learn the words to, but they're singing a new song. They're responding to who God is with a song, with joy, a joy that just overflows, that is going out there and singing a new song. And notice again this word new. What it tells us is that Isaac Watts was onto something when he decided he needed to write a new song, a new version of saying Psalm 98. That such creativity is encouraged. Now, I know we're the traditional service. We like things the way they were. But guess what? Scripture says, do some new things. Sing a new song. I was talking to Shannon the other day, actually about last week's Sunday service, and we were going to sing a song, and I said, ooh, are you going to sing this version of it? He's like, no, if we sing that version of it, we're going to do that on January 3rd. And then he went on to tell me, he's like, John, we have so much great music for this time of year that we can perform and that we can sing. And even with a music Sunday, even with what we're going to do outside on Christmas Eve, even with two services, I'm not going to be able to cover everything that everybody wants. Which tells me that we're actually heeding Scripture's songs. And we're joining in heaven and nature singing, and we are repeating the sounding joy, and we're employing our songs because we want to sing a new song. Because of who God is, but also because of what God has done. Look at Psalm 1:1 again. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. What do you marvel at? I mean, what grabs your mind and you're like, I can't let that go. I just am fascinated by it. I have to dig into it. I would tell you the fact that God Almighty became a baby should be something that we marvel at. It blows us away that we think about it and we meditate on it, we marvel at it, and we go over and over and over again. It just that it calls forth this joy and this response from us that inspires new songs. Because we marvel at it. We marvel at what he has done and why he has done it. Look at that last part of verse 1 again, that he... Notice the he and his in there all the time, right? His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Notice that God is the one who saves us, and he does it without anybody's help. He does it without any tool, without any weapon. He does it all on his own. He has done it. I love that last little bit of it again, verse 1, that he has worked salvation for him. Did you ever stop and think about that? You and I certainly benefit from salvation. But at the end of the day, our salvation is not actually about us. It's about God's glory. It shows how mighty God is to save. Your salvation is not about you. It doesn't exclude you. But it's not about you. It benefits you, but it's not about you. It's about him. And that doesn't mean he's forgotten you, because look at the next part as you get to verse 2. You get that line there that the Lord has made his salvation known. He's revealed his righteousness to the nations. This was a really important thing, that God doesn't need your help even to tell others about him. He expects you to. You should go do that. Absolutely go tell others about God. But God has revealed his salvation. He's done it. This is why Romans 1 says that we're without excuse, because heaven and earth proclaim him. We can all see God. We can all know something about him. He's revealed his salvation. And he's done all of that work. And I think it's really worth noting who he's done it for. He's done it for the nations. Let the nations prove, is what it says in the song, right? The word nations, the scholar Christopher Wright, who is just fantastic, by the way, he's an Old Testament scholar, written a book called The Mission of God. I highly commend it to you. But he says, when you're going through the Old Testament, and you see the word nations, pay attention. Because the word nations is synonymous in Hebrew with the word enemies. Ancient Israel, all the nations who surrounded them were against them. Modern Israel feels the same way. So you hear nations, you hear enemies. So who has God revealed his salvation to? The nations. He's revealed it to everyone. This is good news for everybody. Now, that doesn't mean he's forgotten Israel, because what does verse 3 say? You know, right off the bat, verse 3 is he has remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel, but it's through Israel that he wants to do all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. This is heaven and nature singing. This is as far as the curse is found, right? Where did the curse go? Everywhere. It affected everything. Thorns and thistles, sins and sorrows went everywhere. But what is the blessing that comes out of this? Salvation for it all. God wants to work and save all of it. Every ounce of creation, every square inch is his, and he's going to save all of it. So what should we do in response? Well, that's where you get to the second stanza, verses 4 through 6. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. The response to who God is, what God has done, is joy for the entire world. Joy that is expressed, as we already heard, in a new song. Joy that we just go out there and proclaim and live and do, because it's such a good thing to have joy in the midst of this. Now, joy actually requires a little bit of work, right? Curious, how many of you have decorated for Christmas? No Scrooges in here. That's good news, all right. Any of you done some holiday baking? I can share my address if you need it. All right. So you're doing work to prepare to express the joy of Christmas. Weddings. People hire wedding planners because it's a joyful event and it takes some work and planning. Big celebrations, joy takes a little bit of work. It takes effort. We do this work, and we work that out with effort and with skill. Notice that the psalm calls us to shout. Shout requires effort. But it also says, make jubilant music. And do it with the harp. The harp gets mentioned twice. And do it with singing, and do it with the trumpet, and do it with the ram's horn. All of that in verses 4, 5, and 6 is this making music. It's express the joy musically. Now, I am so grateful for Shannon. Right? Can I get an amen on that one? All right? Because I don't have musical skill. And he does this amazing job. Though I'm giving him a new challenge. Right? Like the psalm says that you have to use the ram's horn. I'm like, Shannon, I want a ram's horn. I talked to another musician at the last service, and they're like, John, you do not want a ram's horn. But he takes all that work. But notice this psalm doesn't say musicians make music. It says everybody. Fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. Heaven and nature sing. Everybody is involved in this. We all do this work. We're not called to be pew potatoes if you're in here, or couch potatoes if you're out there. You're called to participate in this. So when we sing a song, stand up and sing. When we read a liturgy, stand up and read the liturgy. When I say open your Bibles, open your Bibles. Spontaneously, without being provoked once in a while, say amen. Talk about some of the stuff afterwards. Apply the sermon. Do this. Do the work of expressing joy. God is worthy. We heard that in the first bit. He's done amazing things for us. Our part is to respond with joy and music. And it's not our part only, which is where you get to the third stanza. Verse 7. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing for joy together. You see, we heard this earlier. It's a theme that runs throughout, is that this joy, this expression of joy, this response to God is required of everybody and everything. It's required of creation. Now, we know creation points to God, right? Psalm 19, as the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies, or the firmament, if you want to use old language, proclaim the work of his hands. Right? Creation talks about God. It points to God. That's why we're without excuse. That's why in the hymn it's fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains. It's why it's heaven and nature that sing. It's all of this is pointing to God. And it points to God's majesty and who he is and his power and his ability. I love the last few chapters of the book of Job. If you ever want to see God get sarcastic and be put in your place, go read the last few chapters of the book of Job, because he takes incident after incident after incident of creation and uses it to point to who God is and therefore who we are. But creation wants to do more than just point to who God is. Creation wants to actually praise God for who he is. And that's why you heard it in this psalm, that beautiful thing of let the seas resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. This is why if you turn to Isaiah 55, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture, Isaiah 55, it says at the end that the mountains and the hills will burst forth before him and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the juniper will grow. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. Take Joy to the World's take on this. This is why fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains will repeat the sounding joy. It's why no more will sin and sorrow or thorns grow or thorns infest the ground. Because he's coming to make his blessings known as far as the curse is found, which means it's going everywhere. With this amazing news, everybody and everything will respond. It means that one day there's going to be people from every tribe and every tongue from across time and from across space gathered around the throne saying, praise God. And it's not going to be just people. It's going to be all creation. And what are we going to praise God for? Well, that's the last verse, right? Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the worlds in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Judgment is good news. Why is it good news? Because it's done in righteousness. It's done the right way. It's done with equity. It's done fairly. Now, maybe that's what scares you. Because if God is fair, if God is equal, you and I deserve hell. You know that, right? Jesus did it. So God's righteousness is satisfied on the cross. As we heard in that prayer of confession, he takes on our sin, we take on his righteousness. Right? That substitution is what takes place, and so God's righteousness is done, and that means his coming to judge is really joy to the world. It's good news. Friends, sing to the Lord a new song. Burst forth into jubilant song. Join all of creation, because it's joy to the world. The Lord is come. It's joy to the earth. The Savior reigns. Thorns and thistles won't inhabit the ground, because he's come to make his blessings known as far as the curse is found. He comes with truth and grace and shows us the wonders of his love. May your heart prepare it room for that good news, even now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So for our congregational prayer today, I want to use something I was taught a long time ago as a kid as a guide for our prayers. And it's called the joy formula for prayer. Any of you ever heard of the joy formula for prayer? A couple of you. Joy formula for prayer is, if you want to have joy, follow this formula, which is you follow the letters. So in your prayer time, start with J, Jesus. Then move to O, others. And finally, yourself, Y. So that's how I'm going to lead us in prayer, and we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Please get yourself into whatever posture of prayer works for you at this time. Jesus, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You're omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. You are righteous and holy, holy, holy is your name. You have brought about salvation by your right hand and your strong arm. You didn't need our help. You are transcendent. And yet, you are Emmanuel, you're God with us. You are Jesus, our Savior. Lord, you are for us. You are a good, good Father. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Though our father and mother forget us, Lord, our names are written on the palms of your hand. You are interceding for us before the throne even now. You are coming to judge the quick and the dead, and Lord, that is a cause for joy to the world. That's who you are. And Lord, you don't need us, but you are proclaiming your salvation to the world and all who are in it. And Lord, as we pray for others, that is our first prayer. Lord, that they would hear your call, that they would respond to you. Lord, we pray for the 2 billion people in this world who have never even heard your name. Lord, we pray for our neighbors and friends here in town who are indifferent, if not hostile, to you. Lord, we pray that they would come to know you and receive the salvation found in you. Lord, we pray for those who are working to make you known. Not that you need them, but Lord, may they see their ministry as the mercy that it is. May they experience your yoke as easy and your burden as light. We pray for their encouragement in this busy season. We pray for those who are working far from home and loved ones. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling to figure out how to deal with worship and COVID. Lord, we pray for our government. Lord, may they learn to govern as you do, with truth and grace. Lord, we pray that you'd grant them wisdom. Lord, we pray for peace. Lord, may your peace beyond all understanding guard our hearts and minds. Lord, may you comfort those who are mourning. Lord, it's so telling that Christians are distinct in their joy. May we be able to tell people the reason for our joy, Lord, because we know that so many don't have it and are desperate for it right now. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. Lord, we pray for your healing touch upon them, your wisdom for the doctors, your patience. Lord, we pray for our partners in Ethiopia, and for peace there. Lord, we do make bold to pray for ourselves. Lord, we pray for your provision for this church. We pray, Lord, for wisdom to manage what you gave us and to advance the mission you've called us to. Lord, we pray for your encouragement on the staff and the session as they lead in this busy time. Lord, we pray for our own homes and for protection from the virus. We pray for our own hearts that your peace would guard it. Lord, we pray for our own proclamation that you would make us bold and yet winsome. Lord, we pray that we would forgive as we have been forgiven. And Lord, where we need to even forgive ourselves, may we see that your righteousness has been imputed to us. Lord, I pray that we would wonder at your love, that you are even now interceding for us with groans beyond expression, and yet have taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, now you've heard about it, let's stand and sing it.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of sness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Wonder of his love, he has saved us. And he has come to bless us as far as the curse is found. So friends, join the song, but leave this place with the blessing that goes as far as the curse is found, resting upon you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forward and evermore. Amen.